stress out of my mind. I'm trying to keep it composed right now.
This is the Sports Vital Podcast from NBC New York. Hi, everybody. I'm John Chandler.
I need Ryan McDonough to give me an A game. I need Matt Zuccarello to give me an A game.
You'll get a game from us, but will Alain Vigneault get it from his Rangers? The playoffs are slipping away from the Blue Shirts, and yes, I know it's only November. Time is also ticking away on the Winter Olympics. The countdown is inside 100 days.
Big shot coming up here for Bruce Beck, the skip of the WNBC Olympic team. And
to get ready, we sent Bruce Beck curling?
He's getting in the half here looking...
curling.
Yeah, not really, but that'll work, yeah, just like that.
Bruce is not about to be an alternate on the curling team. That would be as odd as, say, a track and field star joining the bobsled team. Oh, wait. That's actually happening at these winter games. Bruce talks to Lolo Jones.
I am beyond excited for this coming Olympics. I can't believe we're at 100 days out.
And figure skater Ashley Wagner is slightly excited for the games.
Alley-oop to Porzingis, and he throws it down.
Plus, Kristaps Porzingis is pretty good at basketball. And
I've dreamed of a moment like this since I was a little girl.
A last impression from the New York City Marathon. Why it was a bigger deal than any before this year.
Today is a special day within the Olympic world. We're celebrating 100 days to the Pyeongchang 2018 Olympic and Paralympic Winter Games.
And it is officially inside 100 days, that countdown to Pyeongchang. And that 100 days marker at NBC Sports and for Team USA, for the Olympics, it's something of a flare that we send up, a signal that lets us know that, okay, yeah, it's go time. And we are getting very, very close to the Olympic Games. Between now and February, it is basically a sprint to the finish. A sprint is kind of what that 100-day celebration feels like in Times Square. It's a bit of a free-for-all with all the athletes that are joined there to celebrate and to do interviews with all of the press. Guys like, you know, Bruce Beck. It's a perfect situation for him, though we did have to first pull him away from his obsession with curling.
All right, I've always wanted to do this curling. Am I going to go right to left like golf? Am I going to draw it, you think?
Well, if you're going to throw it, if you spin the rock where it turns to the left, then it should curve to the left here. But that, you turn that to the right, nah.
Come on back.
There it is. I think that's the one, Bruce. That looks like the one. Oh, and he... And it curled hard at the last minute, but in the house.
I will certainly be watching curling when it comes around in the Winter Olympics in February. I'm just kind of obsessed with it like that. I'm also going to be watching with curiosity for Lolo Jones. This, to me, is one of the more fascinating stories in sports. She was a star at track and field. She, of course, disappointingly did not participate in 2016 because of a hip injury in the hurdles that kept her out. And certainly a source of frustration, maybe some motivation for her to get another Olympic medal, even though it's on the winner's side. How many people do you know can be a high-level athlete in one sport and then say, I'm going to go try and be an Olympic athlete and medal in something completely different? It's fascinating to me to see her make this jump. At 34, this is probably a last chance to try and get this bobsled thing right. She's going to try and hop on with Elaine Myers-Taylor on the bobsled. And she admits, as she talks to Bruce Beck here from 100 Days, that she has a long ways to go to get there.
Lolo, here we go again. Are you excited? Are you psyched? Are you motivated?
Well, it definitely helps if it's 100 days out, for sure. It's just like if you're like not excited, then it's like, oh my gosh, the countdown is real.
Is this the best women's bobsled team we've put together?
I mean, I don't know. Like last time we had Lauren Williams, the summer Olympian as well, medalist, and I was like, wow, this is a loaded team. And then you come this year, and it's like a loaded again. Everyone is so talented. The team is, we just have a really deep team. Like we can just, you know, we have six girls that are amazing athletes.
How cool is it to have represented your country in both the Winter and Summer Olympics?
It is very cool and also very hot. I mean, it's nice to have the change of pace just to see the difference in them. You know, summer is it's obviously more athletes, a little bit more diverse, but then with the winter sports, just their mentality is much more laid back. They're just like the skiers, the snowboarders. It's like having that element to be able to compare, it's amazing.
What is the Olympic spirit like for you?
For me, it's just, you know, being able to represent Team USA, and it's one of the rare times that, I mean, I'll ever get to do that, and it's a huge honor. When you compete normally every year, it's like, okay, cool, I'm competing, this is my passion, but then when you go to the Olympics, and you know, there's millions of people watching back home, and you're representing an entire nation, it just it makes it much, much more special, and it's just like my heart bleeds during those times. It's great.
Are you psyched for Pyeongchang?
Absolutely. We went out there last year for a test event and had some amazing food. The Olympic venues were awesome, and I can't wait to return. Everybody's gonna make a team. We're all Olympic hopefuls. Everybody's gonna make a team, but if I had the opportunity, I'd love to go back.
I like that Lola Jones doesn't just assume she's going to be in the Winter Games this year, that she has to still do work in order to get on Elena Myers-Taylor's sled. There's a lot of people that want to be on Taylor's sled with her. That's a coveted spot, but she's not taking anything for granted, and I like that. Ashley Wagner also doesn't take anything for granted at this stage in the game. She's 26.
She has to be absolutely flawless.
An elder statesman when it comes to figure skating. If she were to medal in February, she would become the oldest U.S. female figure skater to medal since 1924. I mean, almost a century since that has happened for someone her age. She would be 5 years older than Michelle Kwan when she last medaled. She is a three-time national champ and caught up with Bruce Beck.
Ashley, talk about the excitement of getting ready for Pyeongchang.
I am beyond excited for this coming Olympics. I can't believe we're at 100 days out. It's right around the corner. I'm stressed out of my mind. I'm trying to keep it composed right now, but there's so much work that has to be put in, but I can't wait to get started.
There is no event that is harder than the free skate. How are you going to deal with the pressure of trying to be an Olympic champion?
It's about being mentally prepared. And for me, I feel the most confident and strongest when I have put in the preparation. And physically, I know the program backwards and forwards, and I know that I have the endurance that I need to push through those technically demanding programs. So I think that practice is what's going to get me there.
What is it like to represent the U.S. at the Olympics?
It's surreal. To represent the U.S. at the Olympics at the highest level of sport, it's such an honor. It's a dream come true, and I can say a million great things, but at the end of the day, it is amazing.
Is this a fun place to kick it all off with 100 days?
I've never been to Times Square, first of all, so this is my first time. It is a sensory overload, and this is so cool. This whole setup is beautiful. They did a great job.
Ashley, good luck to you. You've got the hardest event of all, the most ratings, the biggest pressure. You can handle it, right?
I mean, you've won me over, so yeah, absolutely. I got this.
I know you can do it.
Yeah,
and if you do, you're going to reap the rewards for years to come.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You got to like her enthusiasm, and I like that she's coming to New York City almost feeling like a tourist, even though here she is, one of the most recognizable faces in the Winter Olympics. Now, the Olympic team won't be finalized until January 7th, U.S. Figure Skating Championships then, so that's something to watch for come January. I would think Ashley Wagner would be a good bet to make it. I would think Ashley Wagner is going to be a good bet to medal come these Winter Olympics. But at 26, it becomes increasingly difficult for figure skaters to accomplish that. Let's keep it on the ice, but talk Rangers hockey. Specifically, what's wrong with the Rangers?
I need Ryan McDonagh to give me an A game. I need Matt Zuccarello to give me an A game. I need my goaltenders to give me an A game. I need Mark Stahl to Rick Nash. You know, I need those guys to come up, not only compete, but make the plays that need to be made in the situations, whether that be converting, whether that be throwing a puck at the net and then crashing in for those rebounds. We need our top players to be on top of their game.
AV's not wrong there. He does need his A game from his top players. He's getting it from some, but not from all. Three wins in their first 10 games pretty much suggests that. Although the disclaimer here, 10 games is a small sample size when it comes to starting to freak out about the team. Case in point, entering November, they win 4 out of 5, pull within a point of a playoff spot, and you start to think there's time. And there is time for the Rangers to turn it around. But hockey is a weird thing. You know, you reach the holiday season, particularly you start into the new year, and what you are is what you are. It rarely changes, and the Rangers, I think, have a sense of urgency understanding that. You could feel that urgency at a recent practice. The Blue Shirts skating like a team that knows they're running out of time. Look, the team's in a tricky spot, trying to get younger while still making a run at the Cup. And if anyone is able to keep that even keel in a storm, it's Rick Nash. He just played his 1,000th career game. That's remarkable. He's a guy Alain Vigneault calls no maintenance when it comes to preparation and staying on top of his game. So when we talked to Rick, he brought up video that he was watching from the third periods recently that he noticed the team skated with a whole lot more urgency and jump to their game.
What did you see on the video that you liked? What did you see that kind of stuck out?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference was, you watch our first period from last game, and we had a one-man forecheck, a two-man forecheck. Guys were playing a little cautious, playing back, and then you watch the third period, and it's a five-man forecheck. Guys are D-man or pinching. Guys are staying hard on the puck, and it was really evident that we had success when we had that five-man forecheck.
What do you think it is that flips that switch, that changes that?
I think it's being confident in our system. I think we've had a lot of bad bounces against us early on, and now we're trying to play too safe early in the game, and it ends up hurting us when you don't stick to your system.
Do you feel like you're in a position now where you're just looking for one thing to change and the floodgates open and it helps? I mean, do you feel like you're playing that well as a team?
I think we've had stretches where we've been playing that well and glimpses of the game that we know we're capable of playing. But, the sport's all about consistency, and we got to bring it for a full game.
If Nash doesn't sound panicked, maybe it's because of that goalie sitting across the dressing room in front of him. In the past, the Rangers have always been a Henrik Lundqvist hot streak away from turning things around. Remember the 2014 season? They started 3-7, 16-18-2, and then made a run at the Stanley Cup Final, losing to the Kings. On the flip side, they started 14-2-2 in the 15-16 year, and then Vigneault believes Lundqvist's play really masked some of the deficiencies that year. He was so good that they could get away with struggles, especially on the defensive end. This year, Hank hasn't been Hank, and he's the first to say so.
I just try to stay positive and confident in our process and in the way we play. And it's not easy. The easiest way to gain confidence is to win games. It's not to play well or to do the right thing. It's to win games. And, it's been hard for us so far, but we just have to continue to work harder and believe that we can turn around, and we will. It's another opportunity tomorrow.
For you, there have been so many times where you've picked this team up and you've carried it through a hard stretch. Is there kind of an inclination for you, an instinct, that that's what you're going to try and do this time? You're going to try and put the team on your shoulders?
I think it's important for me to raise my level of play, no matter what. We're going to need everyone, but you got to start with yourself and see what you can do better to help this team. And I know I can be better, more consistent. Definitely be good games, but also games where I need to be better. So I'm just focused on myself right now to do better. But at the same time, you don't want to try to do too much. And that's when you get in trouble.
What is it you think you need to be better at?
Just more consistent. I think the game is right there. It's more, for a goalie, it's one mistake can be the difference a lot of times between winning and losing, and that's it's been there a couple of times, and it's something I need to cut down. Overall, I feel like my game is right there, but again, cut down a couple of errors here and there.
Here's the problem. The Rangers are lacking depth. I mean, they're getting by on 11 forwards and 7 defensemen. Alain Vigneault is still tinkering with his lines to try and find that perfect match. They might have to end up making a trade here if they want to make a serious run. One guy who should be untouchable going forward, Mika Zibanejad. 6 of the Rangers' first 25 goals have come off the stick of Zibanejad. He's only 24. He already feels like a number one center. He's strong in the power play, and he's showing signs of getting better alongside newcomer Kevin Shattenkirk. Shatty's been off to a fantastic start this year in his first season with the Rangers. He has been every bit the defenseman that they advertised getting, scoring 4 goals in his first 13 games. That puts him in Brian Leetch territory. And if you're in the same conversation as Brian Leetch, you're doing it right.
Porzingis puts it on the floor, drives across the lane, tough shot!
The turnaround no one expected to see this November from the other guard attendant, the New York Knicks. And it's because of one man.
Alley-oop to Porzingis, and he throws it down.
Kristaps Porzingis may be solely responsible for the Knicks' 5-4 start. I mean, I know there's other guys on the team. I know there's a head coach in Jeff Hornacek, and they have something to do with it. But it's really been the Kristaps Porzingis show for the Knicks. He scored a career-high 40 against the Pacers. He's dropped at least 30 points in 7 of the Knicks' first 9 games. And in that win over the Pacers, 40 points and 5 blocks. The other Knick to do that, Patrick Ewing.
Porzingis with the block.
It's interesting, this start from Kristaps. And the interview that Kristaps' brother gave at the end of October to a magazine talking about how his brother is not going to be satisfied necessarily by just getting max money. that he's going to want to be a part of the right situation and a team that wins and is committed to that. And it's not so certain necessarily that Kristaps thinks that the Knicks organization is in fact committed to that. Listen, it was silly to think that Phil Jackson was going to try and trade Kristaps Porzingis on draft day, even though that rumor came out and he was supposedly floating the idea. The Knicks had better do everything they can to keep Kristaps Porzingis happy and to build a team around them. I mean, if I have one message for James Dolan and the Knicks, it is please, please do not screw this up. I want to finish with a note of inspiration on the New York City Marathon. And by itself, the event is inspiration. 50,000 runners out there going 26.2 miles, whether you're elite or whether you're just average and it's something you think you could do. The idea that you could do it, to me, is amazing. And you're talking about a guy that can't run 2.6 miles, let alone 26.2. So yes, I'm impressed by every last one of you that has run the New York City Marathon, or any marathon for that matter. This year it was different, and you could feel it out there. This year, the marathon came 5 days after what happened on the West Side, another terror attack on New York City.
I saw like a guy who has like two guns on him and he's just running around.
Now it's six, terror in Tribeca.
The fear that put into the city was palpable that day on Halloween as we all scrambled to try and cover the event and cover the aftermath. And in the days after it, talking to parents outside of schools who were right there in the thick of it, two moms that I spoke to certainly stuck in my mind, who were in the bike path saying their goodbyes as they went to go get their kids, and then all of a sudden in the next moment they found themselves dropping everything they had and running literally for their
lives.
That
bus didn't get hit, that car would have just kept going.
Pretty inspiring to see how the city came together after that. In the immediate aftermath, how random strangers were helping people, running for safety, not really knowing what they were running from. And then in the days that followed, the city helping each other kind of get back up on their feet. And of course, in New York, we know this. This was the largest terrorist attack to hit this city since 9/11. Eight people dead, scores injured. And for the New York City Marathon, it was the biggest event that would follow in this city in the immediate aftermath. So of course, it was going to get a lot of scrutiny. The safety and security measures were doubled, and wisely so, and effectively so. This was, and I believe it was the mayor who said it, this was their chance to prove that you're not going to get us, that you are not going to keep us down, that we are going to march forward. And so this marathon took on that feeling in that context. And I was at the Boston Marathon in 2013. I was right next to the bomb as it exploded, that first one on Boylston Street. I was three floors up. I was also at the marathon the next year, and it was a very powerful thing. And I felt some of that at the New York City Marathon this year. And of course, what better note to end it on than an American woman winning for the first time in New York in 40 years.
Run by an American on this course. Shalane, when you had to pull out of Boston, the heartbreak was well chronicled. That was a sad moment for you. This is some consolation prize. When did you know that you were going to be the 2017 TCS New York City Marathon champion?
It's never over until you cross that finish line. But yeah, about 9 months ago, I was heartbroken over not getting the opportunity to race the Boston Marathon, and it really hurt quite a bit. And I just kept telling myself that there's going to be delayed gratification and a moment down the road that would make up for it. And I've dreamed of a moment like this since I was a little girl. And so this, it means a lot to me, to my family, and hopefully inspires the next generation of American women to just be patient. And it took me 7 years to do this.
Shalane Flanagan winning the New York City Marathon after being unable to race in her hometown Boston Marathon back in April. She's the first American woman to win the New York City Marathon since 1977. She said, "I thought, what better gift than to make Americans smile?" That'll be our last impression on this episode of the Sports Final Podcast. Thanks for the company, folks. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes. You can check me out on Twitter, John Chandler NBC, and also follow NBC New York on Twitter for updates on when future Sports Final Podcasts will drop. We'll talk to you next time.